It's Monday, June 25th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 776, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, got a great show lined up for you tonight. A little bit of an interesting one. We are in a very strange location, and this will become evident for those of you that just are listening to audio. If you'll just come over and look at the video cue for just a few minutes, but lots to talk about. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the International Space Station. No, we're live in Texas, but... We're playing with a green screen, and of course, I want to welcome you to Geek News Central, and we're using our brand new HD mobile broadcast studio and bringing the show to you today. So I got a great show lined up for you. We're going to have a lot of fun, and this is the first time that I have green screened while on travel. I promised I was going to do that for the viewing audience. Those of you that are listening could probably toot hoots about this. But the background is, yes, from the International Space Station, and I want to thank my good friend Sam Garcia from Albuquerque, New Mexico, one of our Ohana, for providing the background for tonight's show. And what we're going to do is we're going to start having a lot of fun with this. If you've got a background that you want me to use while I'm mobile, feel free to send me a background, and that's what we'll use when I'm on my mobile shows. A lot better than seeing really the back of a hotel room, and the key on everything in the video looks pretty good. We'll see as the sun goes down and the room light drops on how things will look, but we'll have our fingers crossed here that it's going to hold the key. If not, it'll get funky, and then it'll just be fun to watch and see how bad the green screen goes as the show goes on. I'm not able to watch the chat tonight. I got way too many things happening here. So if you're up on chat, you know what you can do is it's real easy to email me, and we'll probably be able to catch some of those emails during the show. Geeknews@gmail.com is where you can email us always about the show content and everything that's going on here. Of course, at Geek News as well is my Twitter account. And of course, our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. And yes, I am live from the Lone Star State here in Austin, having a great time. We've got just amazingly, how should we say it, 110 degrees. It's just ridiculously hot. So the one thing I am looking for is I'm looking for a little bit of feedback from the audience. And how's the audio levels? Is the audio good? And I'll try to, you know, basically look at that part of the chat stuff here quick. But let me know if the... you know where we're at on the audio levels for the video portion of the show. Stuck a new box in this just before we left for Texas, and hoping I'm not overdriving the audio recording. So that's one thing that I'm really trying to watch out for. But if it is, I can reach over here and I can turn the knob down and turn the audio down just a little bit, which I think I may have to. But we'll. We'll keep going here. Now, one thing I do want to remind you guys is that, you know, we do this show every Monday and Thursday. I'm here in Texas this week, but normally I'm back in Honolulu. And, of course, you can watch this show really anytime you want, and you can watch it from geeknewscentral.com. You can watch it from the from Roku, from Boxy, from Samsung Smart TV. Lots of places to get the show. Google TV as well. Of course, the Tech Podcast channel on those devices. And, of course, always reach out to us. And when you get over to geeknesscentral.com, really what I want you to do is really get subscribed to the show. And if I can bring the website up here, see if I can do this without being two thumbs here for those of you that are viewing. You know, if you actually get over to the website, it's real easy to get subscribed to the show. And basically, on the second column of the website, there is a basically you've got information there on. Oh, you know what's kind of cool that I just realized? Wow! I need to make a channel for the text that's not green screen. Oh, something I didn't think about here. You know, one thing that's cool is when you're doing this show, there's always, I guess for a better word, you have the ability to change things on the fly if you so need so. So let me go over here, and I'm going to show you guys a little trick here. And this is thinking on my feet as I'm, okay, so I've got no Chrome there. Set that. I'm going to take that off. Now you guys are going to, oh, you can't see it yet. Well, minus this, and I'll just have to remember that when I go to this shot, okay, and I'm going to show you something here. There's the green screen. Now, if I want to show you guys the screen, I have to do that. And it's not perfect, is it? Huh. But you know what happens every time on the website when you take it chroma keys it. Uh-huh, because I'm chroma keying post-switcher. Yep, that's something I'm going to have to deal with here and learn as we go. But anyway, when you're over on the Geek News Central website, really all you got to do there is subscribe to the show. There's a link to the newsletter at the top. Of course, there's the area in the middle of the website in order to get subscribed to the show, and that's going to be the best way to stay on top of things as we're moving through. Well, that's kind of an interesting... I'm going to have to think about how... You guys are like, I don't care what you're doing, but what it is, you know, I've got this great way to show you guys my screen, but if I've got the chroma key set on the frame, it blows out the graphic when I switch to it. So that's not good. I said, didn't even think about that as I was setting things up tonight. Just another one of those little gotchas. Okay, so let's go ahead here and talk a few minutes about what's been happening. Saturday morning tech show went off without a hitch. I hope you guys check that out. We talked about the IAIB. It's a new group that started for internet broadcasters. Talked about everything going on with Microsoft. So that was a really great show on Saturday. Saturday morning tech's been put up. I know that the Gadget Professor was posting late. He had an issue, so his show is up now and available for you to check out. And then I didn't get a Chrome show done before I got on an airplane, so I apologize about that. Things were just too crazy. But Jeffrey Powers and I did a roundtable, and I'll talk about that roundtable here in a few minutes when we get into the full tech content tonight. But I do want to thank our longtime sponsor here of the show. You know, GoDaddy's been here for a long time supporting the show. And really, we've got a great promotion for you this month. You can get $1.99 economy hosting. Again, $1.99 economy hosting by using the promo code 199GEEK. Now, don't forget, when you get over to geeknewscentral.com, you can find all of my promo codes. And this is where you'll want to check out. You'll want to go and look at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And I've got all my codes there that you can use on almost any purchase. And really, this is a way to save a lot of money on domain names, hosting accounts, SSL certificates, you name it. So definitely check out GoDaddy.com and all these great products. And of course, come over to my website and pick up some cool products and services. So anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we hope that you'll definitely check them out. All right, let me go ahead and load up the full-blown what I've got here and to talk about tonight on the show. And let's see if I can move this bad boy right over here. Will it go? It doesn't want to move, does it? Did you see that? We can go non-green screen and we can go back to green screen just in an instant. So what I want to talk about tonight is I got a full stack of stuff for you here. And we're going to start off with an article talking about Parkinson's. There is a, some tests that can be done now to determine if a person is suffering from Parkinson's disease. And what's the situation there is that a mathematician has discovered that Parkinson's symptoms can be detected by computer algorithms that analyze voice recordings. So now he's looking for volunteers to contribute to a vast voice bank to help the database learn even more. And he is aiming it to record up to 10,000 voices and to set up local numbers in 10 countries around the world. So I have a link up this in the show notes. If you have or know of anyone that is suffering from Parkinson's, you'll definitely want to support this or even, just contribute as well. You know, many years ago, I had a lawyer who had Parkinson's, and the man was very good at what he did, but whenever he went into court, he suffered, had a pretty bad case of Parkinson's. And so in the instances where I had to use him, and it was on some, basically on my prior marriage when I was in the middle of getting a divorce, going in and seeing the judge, the only thing was a little discerning. I wondered how the judge was going to react to him, but he was well known in the court systems at the time. All right, let's go ahead and switch gears here. Apple, boy, oh boy, they have made a major announcement here. Well, not a major announcement. They've quietly switched out a statement that's claiming that its Mac computers are completely immune from viruses, with a less forward statement saying it's built to be safe. Now, this PR shift comes in the aftermath of the flashback Trojan, which affected hundreds of thousands of Macs back in early April. So Apple's striving here for perfection, but really they understand that perfection's always not possible. And they've changed the language. So those of you that are diehard Mac users may want to sit back and go, and think about that a little bit. But it is a definite change by the folks at Apple. So one thing I want to talk about here quick too is a change by Facebook. And Facebook's trying to pull a fast one here. They are trying to hijack your email address. And what they've done, if you're a Facebook user, they have essentially changed your default email address to Facebook.com, whether you use it or not. And Facebook is now automatically posting those addresses to users' profiles and displaying them as the default address. So, as you can see, I didn't switch the little doohickey. And let's do that so this isn't going to look so weird. There's a lot of feedback that's going on right now. People are not happy about this, but they've silently inserted themselves into the path of formally direct unencrypted communications from people who want to email me. And this is a quote from blogger Gervasi Markham. He says, in other contexts, this is known as a man-in-the-middle attack, he wrote, referring to a tactic hackers use to intercept electronic message. What on earth do they think they are playing at? And Facebook has seemed surprised that people are upset about this. But, here you've got an article on CNN Money that is basically saying, hey, Facebook, naughty, 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 what you have done, and calling them out. So there's some ways to get around this. And there's basically some new ways to basically default back to your old email address. Users who want to stop the @facebook.com address from showing up in their profiles can do so by contacting the info sections of their... Now, I'll have this link up in the show notes, this money.cnn.com article, and it will show you really everything you need to know to make this change. And so to make a change back to default address. I don't use or even claim or even have a, ever used the facebook.com email address. So I really don't want to have anyone think that they can send me email at that. Now let's talk a little bit about Google. Google's getting ready to have a conference here, and it's a developers conference that's been sold out. Google's released a live blogging gadget that lets armchair quarterbacks, basically everyone can toss up their commentary alongside a live stream of the conference keynotes. And this is pretty cool. So this is probably be widely followed. And this is the first time that I guess they're going to do this, but you have to use your Google Plus account in order to do it. But links will be up in the show notes if you are a developer and you're interested in the Developers Conference and haven't been able to get a ticket to go. You'll be able to check this out. Hey, one thing I had to do here in the green room, in the studio tonight, in our hotel studio, is I had to turn off the AC because the AC unit is right there, and it's about 3.5 feet from me. And of course, it's 100 degrees here in Texas, and this I can feel the temperature coming up in this room already. I don't know how far I'm going to make it. It may get to a point where it'll get too hot, and I'll have to bounce and go make the change. In the MP3Tunes.com case, where basically EMI has sued this guy, founder Michael Robertson has asked a federal court to dispose of the copyright suit EMI filed against the music service and him personally. The judge has denied doing so. And what's really going on here is that even though MP3Tunes filed for Chapter 7, and basically the court permanently stayed the case, and what's happening is that the judge, by denying his request, and by the EMI wanting to come after him personally, it may end up that the founder of MP3Tunes.com could end up owing EMI $75 million. So, you know, where a judge finds someone directly liable, and basically the judge has found him directly liable for the infringement, and he's at some point probably going to end up with this judgment against him. Can you imagine a $75 million judgment against you personally? And it just goes to show you this is one of those cases where a founder of a service is not completely protected because he allegedly participated in acts that revolved around things they were doing. So we will see where this leads, but doesn't spell out a good thing for this guy that may end up having his house and everything else seized. All right, Dish Network has said to receive Justice Department request. Dish is basically receiving a request from the Department of Justice asking about pricing contracts with television networks. And this is part of a broader probe into whether pay TV companies are squeezing out internet video rivals. So this is a civil investigation demand where it's basically they've sent subpoenas to DirecTV and Dish. Both the providers were asked for this information. But it just goes to show you the government is concerned about what's going on in the broadcast and the digital space, and we'll see where this leads. But the shares on their stock fell today in response to this announcement, so we'll see where this leads as time goes on. Can you guys see on my headset here? I'm getting a little sparkling. No, I'm not wearing a headset that's sparkling, but it shows you as the light in this room goes down, the key. And what I did is I took the cover off the lamp, so I'm getting this big blast. Yeah, big blast of light on this side of the face. Oh, funny. What we do to bring entertainment to this show and entertain myself. All right, Apple has updated Mountain Lion developer preview with a new security feature. This is pretty interesting. Apple's updated the Mountain Lion developer preview version 4. And what's going on here is the system does daily, well, the operating system is going to do daily checks for security updates. And this is good because they're going to be reaching out and touching Apple every day looking for problems or for patches. And there's a new system in called Gatekeeper and other features that appear to be a significant expansion of the X Protect system that Apple's used in the past to try to thwart OS X malware. And so they're gonna have daily checks for required security updates. the ability to install required security updates automatically after restarting your Mac, and a more secure connection to Apple update services servers. So this is a nice update, and nice to see that Apple is kind of responding to some of the issues that they've had. All right, I want to bring up a page, and let me see if I can do this without too much headache here. Apple has, on this past Friday, I received, and I'll actually show you this when I get done showing this this web page. I received the Livestream Broadcaster. I received it in the UPS. I did an unboxing of it, and then on Saturday we covered this in the Tech Podcast Roundtable. I'm currently not using Livestream yet, and we'll talk about why I'm here in just a second, if I can find the right article on it. So what I did is I wrote a review on the Livestream Broadcaster, and really what I found is two or three major things that really make me go, hmm. Now, what it is this particular box that I have pictured here on the video, and for those of you that are not watching the video, you're listening, it's a little red player. I've talked about this quite a bit in the past. But what's going on here is this was $495. I'd purchased this and had it shipped in. Was one of the first 100 people to get one of these. And when I unboxed it and set it up, it was relatively easy to set up, and the management of the menu system was really fantastic. But the Livestream Broadcaster, we found out, will not work with most wireless cards. There's only a handful that it works with, and it didn't work with my Sprint U301 3G, 4G USB wireless card. It wasn't, and I found out later there was a list. Of course, I didn't know about that list until later. And the second thing is that I found out was every time you turn the device off, it does not save the password that you can enter for the Wi-Fi network. So basically, you have to go through each time the device needs new batteries or you power it down, and you have to enter the password again to keep it up and connected to a Wi-Fi device. So hopefully they get that fixed. But I think the biggest issue that I had with this is, unlike Ustream, which most of you that are watching the show right now, you're watching via Ustream tonight. I have live.geeknewscentral.com. I have the stream up at geeknewscentral.com as well. But if you want to take and watch the stream on Livestream, which I am not simulcasting on tonight, if I switch over to that, and if I was actually using this little device in the actual show, what would end up happening is that I would have to have created an event, and the event would have given me a unique page, and then I would have had to tweet it out, that unique page. Or I could send you over to new.livestream.com/GNC, and from there you would have to navigate to my current live stream, and it's just like way too many clicks. So I've been in communication with the live stream folks over the past couple of days. Their PR people reached out to me the first day after I wrote the article, told me that they saw one mistake in the article, and I did correct that. It was basically talking about taking a post show embed and putting it somewhere. But you know, the post show, basically when you're doing the show like I am right now, I am recording on Ustream and recording at the same time. So when I get done, I can technically take the Ustream embed and put it on Geek News Central. I don't do that. I have a master recording that's happening here on my Mac. But what happens with Livestream is when you get done with an event, it saves that live stream, and you're able to take the embed and put it on your website. Well, it was all good until I went to my website with a mobile device, and it turns out that their video is not mobile ready. So, you know, probably 25 or 30% of the audio and video views that are going on geeknewscentral.com is happening from a mobile device. So, you know, that's pretty dumb. So really three strikes here. They're close. They've got a great product. This is a great unit. It's going to come in handy in certain instances, but I just saw no way really of using it at this time in the flow to try to get people onto the website. Now, I think they're taking some of our comments very seriously and are working very hard to really come up to speed and basically support content creators like me. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I told him I'm still on Ustream. I don't have a place to send people directly to. You don't have the embed. I can't put it on Geekness. And it, but here's the sad thing. I'm paying $45 a month. Well, I get the first 3 months free. Then I pay $45 a month to have ad-free streaming. Now, those of you on Ustream got jammed a couple of ads today. And what I'm going to do on the next show is we're going to go back up on Amazon. Now, you normally don't use Amazon when I'm mobile. But I'm going to go ahead and go back up on Amazon for the mobile, even being on travel, and we'll use the Amazon stream on Geek News Central and at live.geeknewscentral.com to have an ad-free live stream, whereas those of you that are watching on Ustream tonight are being forced to watch the ads from time to time. So we're going to, you know, remedy that, but it's just one of those things that, you know, this is a learning process, and luckily we're having communications with the live stream folks, and hopefully they make some changes. All right, let's switch gears here. Should Google and Amazon be allowed to control domains? And I actually wrote a little bit of an article this morning on an issue that I, you know, I basically have tried to buy a domain. I have a domain that I want to buy. It's not necessarily a short. It's basically two words, .com, and the guy wants $25,000 for it, and I would be willing to pay maybe $1,000 for the domain, but not $25,000. No way. I just laughed when it came back with the offer. So, long story short, my thought is with all these new global top-level domains that are going to be coming on board, 280 global top-level domains, you know, all these domain squatters that are holding all these domains and trying to sell them for $25,000, are they going to be affected? Well, I think that it may affect their market, but the concern I have is Google and Amazon are going to have applied for like 20 or 25 domains each, and should they be allowed to control domains that no one else can have access to, like .book, .store, .blog, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, top-level domains that are going to be, you know, be really kind of handy for all of us that are looking for those kinds of domain names. But there, some of those apparently are going to be held, and they're not going to be even making them available. So if you want .book, tough. Amazon's going to use it for whatever they want, and they're going to lock in. I really think that this is a big issue. And if they don't make these available for sale, you know, we're going to be in the same situation we are now. And there's not going to be any, you know, any domains to be bought because Amazon, Google, and all these companies are going to control them. And I think it's, you know, it's going to be a big issue long term. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. And of course, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Do you guys think that Google and Amazon should be allowed to control domains and then not resell them? So I'd love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, you can always reach me at Twitter, at Geek News. All right, researchers have taken the wireless to really just some amazing speeds. Researchers at the University of Southern California, Tel Aviv, have basically used their massive brains to show off a way to deliver speeds of 2.5 terabytes per second wirelessly. That's 500,000 times faster than the current low-end LTE speeds and 5,000 times faster than the 5.5 gigabits per second, which is the fastest theoretical wireless broadband. So they've done some pretty cool stuff here, and they're using what they're calling twisted signals. So it just goes to show you the airways. I think they can get plenty of speed out of them. They just got to employ a lot cooler technology. Time will do that. Hey, here's a cool pick. Let me show you this pick, and let me switch over here. Over on the International Space Station, you know, how many cameras does one astronaut really need? Well, you know, obviously we've got the ISS in the background on tonight's show, and it turns out that every time a new camera is brought up, really all they take back with them is digital media. They don't take the cameras back because of a weight payload issue. So, you know, now the International Space Station has 10 DSLRs up there, various different camera focal lengths, and, you know, they just keep collecting. So I think it's kind of funny that all of these cameras are up there, and he's taking a picture of all these things. I imagine at times it's a challenge to keep the house clean. But one thing's for sure, they can put these cameras essentially anywhere, one in each module. So if something happens, just grab it and take a couple of shots, and you're good. All right, got an article over here at space.com talking about possible alien message to get reply from humanity. Back in 1977, they received a signal, and it was they call it the WOW signal. And essentially what it was it was received by the Ohio State University Radio Observatory and North American Astrophysical Observatory. So what they did is they found this sequence of numbers in a signal, and they were like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So what they're going to do is they're going to be preparing to send a message back in the direction this signal came from at the same frequency. So what's going to happen is between Friday, June 29th, and at 3 a.m., and Saturday, June 30th, what they're going to do is if every person that tweets with the hashtag pound chasing UFOs, your message is going to be rolled into a signal message and will be fired back at that location. So think of something witty to say, and from 8 p.m. Eastern, Friday, June 29th, and 3 a.m. Saturday, June 30th. Again, if you send out the hashtag #chasingUFOs, the message you have within that will go out and be punched back in the direction that this WOW signal came from in 1977. All right, folks, we are just about a month away. Maybe a little more. NASA's next Mars rover is going to be attempting an unprecedented landing on the Red Planet. So this is really exciting stuff, because the one-ton Curiosity rover is really the centerpiece of NASA's $2.5 billion Mars Science Laboratory mission. It's due to a touchdown on the Red Planet on the night of August 5th. And we all know that this is going to be a very scary landing, and everything that they're doing here is being done for the very first time. So, you know, they're going to be, it's basically going to be parachuted to a certain point. You know, it's going to be slowed down through the atmosphere, have a drag chute that comes out, then a parachute. Then they're going to drop the actual rover. Some retro rockets are going to make this thing, and it's going to land. It's going to be pretty crazy, and a lot of stuff has to happen in a quick hurry. So, again, we're going to enter the atmosphere at 13,000 miles per hour. And in just 7 minutes, we'll be on the ground. So it's going to be a wild ride. And we won't know until 14 minutes after the rover's on the ground whether or not everything was a success or not. So it's going to be an exciting night. Definitely keep mark it on your calendar, okay? Because that'll be great to watch and be front seat for. All right, there's a new application out called Box Opus. And I may have pronounced that incorrectly. Box Opus downloads torrents directly to your Dropbox. So think about this. You'll go out and you find something that's a BitTorrent that you want to download. You basically use the Box Opus website. You click on the torrent. And then what it does is it transfers the files totally anonymously, quote unquote. Don't trust it for anything, folks. And without the need of a BitTorrent client, the torrents can be added to your Dropbox. So you can store your stuff that you've downloaded. So be aware that this is available. Use with all due regard and risk. But I guess people are loving it because it's ease of use. And people don't need to run a torrent client. It takes a little longer to load stuff download stuff. But people are saying this is a great way to get media into your Dropbox account. Labels want ISP level of spying. Okay, so what's going on here is, especially in Japan, the recording industry of Japan has devised a new way to put basically hardware in between you and the ISP. And basically, they're going to watch the stuff that you're uploading. And as soon as you start uploading copyrighted materials, they're going to be able to stop it, log it, and let you know basically you're doing something you're not supposed to. So they've come up with a whole mechanism and how to do this. And I wish I was in Hawaii and my wife could look this over and give me the kanji deciphering here. But essentially, the system works on spying on the connections of users and comparing data between the uploaded to the internet with digital fingerprints held in an external database. And so that just tells you here that this is going to, if they do this, everything that you do on the internet will go through a filter and will be basically spied upon. I know not very many of you probably have considered or even thought of buying a Red camera. The folks HP have come up with the Red Z. Oh, it's going to reload here. Isn't that nice of them? Trying to reload a new ad. They've introduced the HP Red Z820 workstation. It's a large caliber video editing machine. I don't even want to think what this thing is going to cost. They haven't priced it yet. But if you even need to ask, you probably are not going to be needing anything like this to edit videos with, especially if you have a Red camera. Oh, so we have a timed out article. Let me see if I can reload this. And this is an article over at Paid Content. Is it going to load? Why, yes. All right, here's something that you all... Oh, this is nice. I gave my... show to the green screen. Hey, few cable users are aware of TV everywhere. Only about a fifth of paid TV subscribers know their cable or telco service providers offers technology that allow them to view video content over the internet on digital devices. So this is an interesting move or interesting survey findings. What it tells me is that you guys need to start talking with your family members, people that you know, and let them know that you can watch a lot of the content that's on your television with your tablet. You know, basically if you are on a Comcast or Time Warner, they've got those additional applications that you can use to watch some of the content online versus having to always be hooked straight up to it. Sony is going to be launching a new Google TV set-top box for the global market. So this is exciting. Sony's going to be the first hardware partner seeking to extend Google TV beyond the United States with plans to launch it into Europe and Latin America. I know Latin America has been huge from a perspective of IPTV, and I know it's expanding as well in the UK. So this is good. This is going to retail at $199. It's going to be an Android-based internet player. It's going to debut on July 22nd with pre-orders starting on that day. And it's going to launch in the UK later in July, Canada, Australia, France, Germany, Netherlands, Brazil, and Mexico. So I wonder if we're going to be able to buy this in the U.S. Doesn't say. So exciting stuff. New Google TV coming out by Sony. It shows you that particular space is continuing to move forward. All right. How many of you going to be out barbecuing on the 4th of July? Are you going to the beach or anything like that? Well, I have the perfect small barbecue for you. And let me bring this up for you. You can check it out. It's called the Darwin's Briefcase Barbecue. And it's a portable that you can take anywhere, and it folds up in a small little case. This is pretty slick. It really is. I don't see a price on it. But one thing, being married to, you know, my wife's Japanese, and one thing that I've always found when being married to her is that she's all about maximizing space on everything. So she's going to see this, and she's going to go like, oh. You have to order that. That'll fit in the car better than the small Weber. Yeah, this will squish up, and I don't know how many burgers that thing will cook. So, you know, if you're going with the small number of people, it may work. But believe me, I've spent many a day at the beach using one of those small Weber grills, and you know, it's truly a science going to the beach and be able to cook things nicely and it to make it taste good and at the same time be able to feed everybody in a timely manner and so forth. Love doing it. All right. Again, I had three great articles at Geek News Central, the live stream broadcast review, the morning show, Saturday Tech, basically talking about IAIB, and of course Microsoft previous week along with a bunch of other stuff. But there's some additional news coming out on new types of GPS systems. Garmin's coming out with a swim watch that tracks your water workout. And so if you want to do some laps, it's going to measure how far you've swam. And I guess it's smart enough to know how far you've went in the pool. Now, speaking of tracking, I want to talk to you guys about what happened Friday. So Friday, I'm sitting at my computer, and my cell phone rings, and it's my wife, and she's like, honey, don't be mad at me. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, she wrecked the car. And I'm like, well, what happened, sweetheart? And she goes, I lost my iPad, and I left it at Home Depot. And I'm on my way back to Home Depot to see if I can find it. She's panicking. And I said, well, where are you at? And she said, oh, I'm real close. I'm getting to the store. I'm going to be parking in probably the next 30 seconds. And you know, so she's, you know, it's not the way the conversation is happening, obviously, but she's freaking out. And of course, I'm a little bit upset. I'm like, how did that happen? And, you know, she's saying not be mad. And I'm probably being a little mad. And she said, oh, the, you know, Chris was bothering me and I set it down, blah, 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 blah. She said, can you find it? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can. I got, you know, find the iPhone, find iPad turned on. So I said, I can find it. And about that time, she's parking and running into the store. So I log into iCloud, and immediately I say, find the iPhone, and it shows her device. I refresh it. It says, found the device. And I said, okay. So then she's never put a password on her iPad. And I said, okay, remote lock. I remote locked it, put a password in, and then I sent a message. I says, if you have found this iPad, $100 reward payable immediately. And thinking if someone's got it, they're just going to ignore the text message I've just put on the screen. So then I did locate device, and it sure enough, it showed it was still at Home Depot. And I'm looking at the, you know, there's always a little bit of discrepancy between where it's at. You know, there's got a little bit of a radius issue. And I call her back on the phone, and of course, there she's talking with the manager, and, you know, they're going into the area that she thought she lost it. And I said, honey, it looks like it's by the garden store, the garden area of Home Depot. And I said, were you over there? And she goes, no. I said, well, it's over by the garden area. If someone's got it, it's over in that area. So so she hung up, and I went on Google Maps and did Home Depot, Nimitz Avenue, and it came up, and I'm looking at the satellite picture, and I'm like, huh. So I call her back. I said, honey, it looks like it's outside the garden center. And I kind of get this pause on the phone. And she says, wait a minute. And guess where she found it? In her car, in the parking lot, next to the garden center. yeah. Guess who got a kiss when she got home? So it was, you know, it found it. It was in the car. She was pretty amazed that it got that close. All right, switching gears here. The New York Times is coming to Flipboard. So if you have Flipboard on your Android or an iPad and you're subscribed to the New York Times, you'll be able to get New York Times via the iPad this coming Thursday. There's going to be a couple of folks that are dropping. I heard that Wired is dropping and one other company as well. So we'll keep you advised there and keep an eye on it. Hey, Amazon is, you know, one thing that just drives me nuts, and this happens to me all the time. I order something from Amazon, and then it needs a signature, and it's going to be delivered, on a Thursday at 2 o'clock, and I'm somewhere else, and I never am home to get stuff. It just really drives me crazy because I either have to race home and be there for FedEx or UPS to sign for stuff. You know, it just drives me nuts. You know, this Amazon locker that they have come up with, it really is going to be really good. And Amazon lockers have hit 7-Elevens in Washington, D.C. And it lets you grab your parcels and, you know, a hot dog out of the 7-Eleven. I'm sure we all are buying hot dogs out of 7-Eleven. But really, this is going to make it easier. And you can have your stuff dropped off at these boxes, and they give you a little code to open them up. I think this is really smart. I really do. I wish UPS and FedEx would have this as well, and you could have stuff sent. And that way, you wouldn't have to, you know, those of you that are working, you wouldn't have to rush home, or you wouldn't have to go to the FedEx store or UPS later. It just would be a lot simpler. It really, really would. Okay, finally, with the USB 3.0 becoming a little bit more popular, there's a lot of new USB drives coming out. Some of them are Thunderbolt. Some of them are, There's new hardware coming out that's either Thunderbolt or USB 3.0. G Technology has a Mac-friendly USB 3.0. Got this article over at Engadget. And they're covering this. And, you know, one thing's for sure is I'm excited finally that we're going to start seeing these new, really, these new drives coming out with much higher speed. It's going to make it a lot easier to do editing and a variety of other things as well. So a big move here by manufacturers to start supporting that. So anyway, I don't know how many of you went out and bought the new a new Mac, but you definitely want to be looking for these USB 3.0 drives and Thunderbolt drives. You're going to pay a little bit of a premium on them, but the performance is just simply remarkable. It really is, and probably well worth the purchase. All right, Box app. How many of you are using Box? So Box has updated its OneCloud features and has 50 launch partners. So basically, the Android app, the Box app, is really, they've made a major improvement to this, and you'll have all kinds of different interfaces and stuff now where you can connect to a variety of different services to work with the Box cloud service. So definitely check that out. I have a link up in the show notes for you to review if you're using that. All right, a big move in the legal side, and this is an article over on TechDirt, and they basically are saying being pissed off doesn't mean you have a legal claim. And it's an interesting move because there was the where a judge has thrown out the Apple's patent litigation strategy here recently, where they're basically saying even though you're mad and someone has copied something doesn't always mean that you have a legal claim against someone. You know, knockoffs happen all the time. Knockoffs create competition. You know, and it's innovation that keeps people on their toes. There's lots of stuff that's moving out there that serve the same purpose. And I think it's interesting here that really the judges are finally getting upset over this patent litigation and are starting to take some action on it. And the ruling he wrote was quite interesting. And I think what's going to happen is people are going to keep innovating, and there's only so many ways you can cut something up. And hopefully we see a lot more of these software patents litigations being thrown out. But this was a big one that was tossed by a judge against Apple. All right, how many of you get more nervous about what you're doing online? The folks over at Wired has come up with a new way, and it's basically a way to use proxies. And they give you instructions on how to use proxy servers to make it very hard for your IP to be tracked. And they could talk about picking your proxy, how to use it with different browsers. And of course, you know, this is not something that a lot of people do lightly, but I think a lot of people are starting to get freaked out by some of the things that are being done online. And this is just another way to prevent tracking. So a good article by Wired, and shows you how to use a proxy server if you've never used one as well. Another article on Wired talks about a domain squatter who basically was putting up email address or domain addresses like Smith Law Firm. And he would put in smitlawfirm.com, where he would buy the domains around someone else's domain in the hopes that they were going to capture emails being typed in incorrectly into an email address. And a lot of times what he would do is he would have a second domain that would be very close to the law firm's name, as people would forget how to type it. And he was ending up getting all kinds of email for a specific law firm. And this guy has basically been sued for $1 million for illegally intercepting email. So we'll see where this one leads and whether or not this is going to have any merit. But basically, he was trying to intercept mail intended for McDonald's, MasterCard, News Corp, McAfee, and a large of other sites. But he apparently was able to siphon off over 20 gigs of email from Fortune 500 companies. And by registering these domains that resemble the names of real companies' websites, So we'll see where this guy goes and if he ends up having to pay a lot of money or where it leads to. But interesting development on that side of the fence. Google is saying that they're not going to be off internet off Apple's platforms iOS very long. They're going to be bringing their own app with Google Maps back to the iOS, even though it won't be the default one. So they're going to get obviously they're going to build a new app here. So that's good news for you that like the Google Maps and maybe not are so thrilled by what's coming with the new Apple Map and their partnership. Okay, that's all I've got for content tonight. I don't want you to forget here, you know, the best way to reach out to the show is really simple. All you have to do is email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me at Twitter at geeknews. Of course, the hotline is available at 619-342-7365. I do again want to thank Sam Garcia for the International Space Station background that we used tonight. And of course, you know, just as a little fun here at the end, I'm going to switch out a green screen and I'm just going to show you guys how close things are from, you know, basically there's my borders. So I don't have a, of course, there's the hotel bed. But, you know, not too bad on how the green screen works. I can come right back into it. And it's getting kind of dark out, so the green screen held longer than I thought it would. So love to hear how you guys think that this looks for my on-the-road shows. I know that the depth isn't quite right. We'll have to work with that over time. But pretty cool way to be able to do this and have a lot of fun. And let me see if I what we had in. Did we have any emails that came in? And oh yeah, we got another one from the live stream folks. And let me load up. I think I had some email comments come in. Now let's check that. I didn't have that loaded prior to the show. Got an email here from Christopher. He says, "Hey Todd, hasn't this issue with YouTube to MP3 been settled? This sounds exactly like the same situation when people used to record music off the radio or MTV cassette tape. For many, YouTube is basically internet radio or an MPTV replacement. Please correct me if I'm just ignorant with copyright laws, but it is really any different from the way people used to record music from commercial sources in the 80s and 90s. It wouldn't be illegal if you just plugged in a speaker out to a recorder and recorded it that way. Obviously, what it is, it's a software tool that's given people a digital copy and it extracts it that way. So that's kind of how that's working. And anytime that people are, you know, recording stuff off of the radio or whatever, it's your prerogative to do that. But the YouTube to MP3 thing is just a more of an automated way to do it. I got an email here from Bree. She says, "Hey Todd, just think how this young lady felt when she discovered the video of her father shot." And what it is, it's a video of the World War II Victory Parade in Honolulu in 1945. This is fantastic. I watched this video and it was like, wow, really, really cool. So Bree, thanks for that. I'll have that up in the show notes tonight from listener supported stuff. And again, you guys can email me your comments and links like this. Got a couple of emails from Andrew. He says, "Hey Todd, I found another video on the same subject with Japanese vending machines, including one that sells live crabs and dishes." And then he sends me another link. He says, "I want to share this other new vending video. I bought beer and french fries from vending machines, but it looks a bit crazy." And he says, "What's next?" And I didn't look at the video, so we'll all be surprised. And I tell you, Japanese vending machines are pretty wacky. They're a lot of fun, but at the same time, they always have kinds of weird things in them. Got an email here from Ron. He says, "Hey Todd, you mentioned the heat wave in the U.S. Northeast. Here in Victory, British Columbia, Vancouver, here in Victoria, B.C., on Vancouver Island, all weather has been terrible. Something like 16 days with rain this month, with temperatures quite a bit below the normal." He says, "I know the reason, and let me show you his email that he sent me." And you guys will get a laugh on this. Let me bring this up. It says, installing summer 2012, 44% ready. Installation failed. Summer is not available in your country. very cool. Very cool on that part. Thanks, Ron, for that email. It really cracked me up. But I just wanted to share it with the audience. Really basically shows like a boot screen, folks. For those of you that were listening, shows a boot screen and the line going across and it basically installation fail message. Another email that came in was from James. He says, Moving to the cloud may mean leaving some perks behind. He talks about streaming music for the internet while sitting on a desk may be taboo. Used to be taboo, but it's now common sight. He says, back in April, Procter & Gamble announced that they banned their employees from using Pandora and Netflix because they utilize cloud technology and they needed to free up more bandwidth. He says, it's time to reprioritize your bandwidth from an IT perspective, and if you're planning to move to the cloud, you better have a huge internet pipe to do that. So interesting move there, and it makes you really go, it's probably very, very true. Got an email here from Chester. He says, hey, Todd, just want to let you know new TVs will be 4K, not 2K. Chester, one thing that we saw at CES, we did see some 2K televisions. So I know 4K is the big next jump, but we did see some 2K channels. So I think the last one here came in too late from the last show. Came from Jeff. He says, talking about Microsoft building its own phone, and Microsoft is saying no, that they did not, they're not doing that. But that's kind of, anyway, a prelude to probably some stuff that we'll see here if there is any announcements in the coming weeks. All right, again, if you've got comments on today's show, Twitter at Geek News. You can email geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Of course, it's been live here from the Lone Star State, or actually live from the International Space Station. At least that's the background here on the green screen. We want to thank our sponsors, GoDaddy. Definitely check GoDaddy out. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and check them out. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. My name is Todd Cochran from geeknewscentral.com. Until next time, everyone, take care. And aloha.